You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line by line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. And here's Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 25, where we left off last lecture. Mark, chapter 6, verse 25. Before we begin, let me give you my telephone number. Some of you might want to call me and leave a prayer request on my voicemail. Area 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. Now, Mark chapter 6, verse 25. Last time, Mark was telling us the fate of John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist had been the forerunner of Jesus, and he had said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." What had happened was King Herod had been reprimanded by John the Baptist because King Herod married his brother Philip's wife, and she was called Herodias. John the Baptist said, no, that's a sin. Well, Herodias, the new queen, got mad at John the Baptist and tried to get her husband, King Herod of Rome, to kill John the Baptist. But Herod would not, because he admired John the Baptist and he knew he was a holy man. So he said no. But then it was the birthday of King Herod, and he made a great feast and called all of his lords and captains and ladies, and everybody was dressed, and the wine was flowing. So Herodias saw her chance, that's the queen, and she got her young daughter to do a very sultry dance. It was not Mary Poppins, and the wine was flowing. So King Herod loved the dance or the dancers so much and all the men, and his eyes were popping out, and he said to her, and I'm sorry, the alcohol was talking, there's spirits of those bottles. He said, "Ask me anything and I'll give it to you, even to the end of my half of my kingdom." So the damsel went in and ran and asked her mother, "Herodias, what shall I ask?" And Herodias said, "Go tell him you want John the Baptist's head on a charger." Now, we pick it up with the young damsel going back to Herod in the party and telling him this. "And she came in straightway with haste to the king and asked, saying, 'I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist.'" By and by in the Greek means right this minute, right now, while I'm standing here waiting on you, right this minute, go kill him, bring his bloody head on a silver platter, this minute.
26, "And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for the sake of those who sat with him, he would not reject her."
It was the king's honor never to go back on your word. You know, your word should be your bond. You should never have to sign a contract. If you tell somebody you're going to do something or be somewhere, you should be there. There was a time in America when everybody's word was their bond. And now, you can't even believe it if they write it on paper. Okay. So he's got to keep his oath because that would be honorable.
"And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison. 28, and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother."
Nice mother there.
29, "And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb."
That would be John the Baptist's disciples. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And Malachi 4 says that God is going to send the prophet Elijah before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Well, do you remember the prophet Elijah in the book of Kings? He did not die. He was taken up in a whirlwind, which means a chariot of fire. And the disciples came to Jesus talking about John the Baptist, who said, Master, the scriptures say that the one that's supposed to come before you now and in your second time would be Elijah. Well, so what is John the Baptist? So Jesus says, if you could receive it, John the Baptist is Elijah. He has the anointing of Elijah. Now, I will tell you in Zechariah 4 and Revelation 11 that very soon you're going to be aware of two witnesses speaking the truth in this world, especially to the elect, and they will have the anointing of Elijah. The anointing of Elijah always tells you there are two fathers. Satan beguiled Eve in the garden, and he's one father, the father of the Cain, the Kenites, and then there's God, our Father. John the Baptist's first sermon was, repent, ye generation of vipers. Generation means children of the snake. It's not a real snake. The snake is a devil. So there you have it. Now we move to another scene of Jesus' life.
30. And the apostles gathered themselves unto Jesus and told him all things what they had done and what they had taught.
Now you remember that Jesus had sent his 12 disciples out two by two. Two is better than one. If one falls, the other will prop him up. And he anointed them, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit and gave them power by the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God, to heal the sick and cast out devils. So that's what they've been doing, and they're coming back to tell him how it went. They're reporting to the commander in chief, the Lord Jesus.
And he said unto them, come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while.
The desert place means a solitary place. Jesus knew, because while he was very God, a very God, he was also very man, a very man. He knew that when the dynamite, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit flows through a person, you preach the word, you heal the sick, you cast out devils, that the lightning of God flows through you, and that it just is amazing what it does to your body, and you need to be replenished. You need to go to a solitary place and hear God and sit before him. Don't do all the talking. Replenish, refill, renew. So he says, go to a solitary place. May I suggest to all of you that somewhere in your home, you have a solitary place just for you and God alone. And go in there every day and replenish. And when you pray, don't do all the talking. Listen to him. It's a two-way relationship. Oh, hallelujah. He'll fill you up. You'll fill your car with gas. But when do you fill yourself up? Solitary place.
For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship, privately.
Privately means they thought nobody saw them. They thought they were doing in privacy. But uh-oh, the people waiting on Jesus, because they found out he's a miracle worker, they were discovered.
33. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him.
Many knew him. That's an intimate word. Jesus says, my sheep know me. They hear my voice and follow me. No other shepherd will they follow. Don't forget that all of us were in our spiritual bodies in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6. So there was some just waiting for that moment of recognition. Something happens to you when you meet Jesus this time around, in this one time in the flesh. You know him. His name is Truth.
And ran afoot many out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. 34.
That is so cute. They saw him there. They outran the ship. They ran on the sides and got on the other side. Here we are. We're waiting on you. Now, you know, I know the disciples needed to rest, and so did Jesus, but Isn't it wonderful that they had the sense to run to Jesus? You know what I long for is to have I have an altar call all the time, and that people will run to Jesus, can't wait to get to Jesus. So many of you precious Christians, when you have trouble, you run hither, thither, and yon. You run to the telephone. You run to the book. You run to the food. You run to this best friend. And you run to the bottle. You run to drugs. You run to the television set. Run to Jesus.
And Jesus, when he came out, so much people was moved with compassion towards them, for they were as sheep not having a shepherd.
He saw that they were under oppression by the Roman government. They were sick and they were lost and they needed a savior. Jesus, the compassionate counselor.
And he began to teach them many things.
Don't overlook that. We know in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13 that he taught them about the seduction in the garden, because he says a wicked seed was sown, and the wicked seed are the children of the devil. And then we know that he taught them about the first earth age, 2 Peter 3:6, in other places. We know that in Mark 13, and I'm going to get to do this for you, he would teach them of the seven trumps, of the order of the trumps. So we know that he taught them many things, not just that he would die and shed his blood and pay the sin debt to rise and come again, but all of the mystery of God that you as a Christian must know to understand God's plan and to be useful in the plan.
35, and now when the day was far spent, the disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. 36, send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.
Well, the disciples were kind of looking out for the people. It was getting dark, and they realized there was no 7-Eleven around. There was no Quick Stop or any place. And so Jesus sent them away, because if they stay here any longer, it's going to be too dark for them to go and find food, and they might really get sick, and what are we going to do? So Jesus, do something about it. Now, that was their human answer. It seems reasonable, doesn't it? See, what is called sometimes is totally against God's plan. Jesus is going to use divine solution. They gave human solutions, send them away so they could get some food. Seems very common sense, practical. But Jesus has a divine solution. He's got a divine solution for you too. Do you know that? Stop looking for the human solution. Look to the divine. Run to Jesus.
37. Jesus answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat.
You give them to eat. Now, you know, they must have looked at him funny. Is Jesus touched in the head? Touched, you know, T-E-T-C-H-E-D. Remember the woman with the issue of blood, and thousands of crowds were touching Jesus, and she touched Jesus and was healed, and Jesus realized virtue had gone out, and he said, Who touched me? And the disciples said, Jesus, this is 1,000 people touching you. What do you mean, who touched you? And then they say, What do you mean, us feed them? They had to get used to Jesus. They were still learning that Jesus is God, Emmanuel, God with us, Isaiah 7:14.
And they said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennies worth of bread?
200 pennies worth in Bible times would be $40. Now that seems a small amount to us today, but in Bible times you can add some zeros to it. It was very, very expensive, and they didn't have that, and Judas was definitely not going to give them $40 out of the bag.
Give them to eat? 38, and he said unto them, How many loaves have ye?
I love this. See, Jesus totally ignores you when you say, he's told you to do something. Everybody in the sound of my voice, you know perfectly well you have a mission. And you know that day by day he tells you to do something. You say, well, I can't do that. I'm shy. I can't do that. I don't have enough money. I can't. I don't have time. My job, my family, my body, my this, my that. I can't. I can't. I can't. So he says, I gave you an assignment. What do you have? I don't have what I need to do that, Jesus. What do you have in your hand? When Jesus gives you an assignment, take what you have and start. I started my school. He jumped me off the bed. I jumped on the floor going to start a school. And that was what he told me. And I had $45, but I started. And I've been going 35 years, paying every bill, helping hundreds and thousands of people, many not only in music and speech and manners, but to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you just cannot give God. Elisha, the student of Elijah, the prophet, saw the poor widow woman, and she was starving. She had a son. They had just enough oil and flour for one more little pancake. Elisha, the prophet, said, make that pancake and give it to me. And she said, I don't have enough. He said, what do you have? A little tiny drops of oil, a little bit of flour. So she made the pancake, and the oil never ceased, and the flour never ceased. What do you have in your hand? There's not a person on the sound of my voice cannot go out something today and do something great and beautiful for God. God told me to teach Daniel on the radio. I had some money, inherited a little bit of money, borrowed some money, and I had just enough for a short time. I'm into my sixth year. Everything's been paid. Amen. You take what you have in your hand and obey.
Amen.
Go and see.
Go and see what you've got, Jesus says. He ignores them. So when you grumble and say you can't do what he called you to do, he's not paying attention to you. Go ahead, do it.
They say, 5 and 2 fishes.
Okay, they said, well, Lord Jesus, we got thousands of people here. We got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. I bet you Jesus' eyes light up because 5 in biblical numerics is a number of grace. Grace is unmerited favor, unmerited love. And bread is Jesus. Jesus is the manna. Jesus is the bread of heaven. What about the fish? The fish is a cipher, C-I-P-H-E-R. It's from Greek letters, and you put it all together, and you have the Greek word ictus, and it will have the Greek letters iota, chi, epsilon, sigma, etc. And what it means in English, ictus, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. So we got the bread of heaven, and we got Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. You think he can't do something with that? You better believe those 5 loaves of bread and the fish. See, you always look at the first part of the story, but we go to the third level there. By the way, that solitary place you're going to put in your home, if I were building a new house, I would have them build me a little cubicle there just like that, carpet it up and make it pretty. One man said he just hung up some sheets. So when you fix your solitary place, a good name for your business or your new home or your new place is ictus. The politically correct will never get it. But you'll know it means Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. It's Greek.
Amen. 39. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down by ranks and hundreds and by fifties.
Okay, the first thing he did, the Bible did, was to get things in order. The Bible says to do things decently and in orderly. When you've got that many people, we're going to find out that there were 5,000 men plus women and children. What you can have, if you're going to feed them and they're all starving to death, you could have mob chaos. Anytime there is a mob or confusion or chaos or tumult, the devil's in the details. God is not the author of confusion. So Jesus always tells you in everything you do, in your finances, in your bank account, in your body, in your clothes, in your home, in your workplace, in your prayer life, that things be done decently and orderly. That doesn't mean that you're boring and staid and that you don't get excited. It just means you do not have confusion. Anytime you got confusion in your home, in your workplace, in your body, in your life, in your relationships, then the devil's in there. Now you have power over the devil, so make him leave.
41. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, He looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them.
Now you notice that Jesus did not feed them. He gave them the disciples to feed. Ah, that's why Jesus told us, you Christian, go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now he supplies, he's ictus, he's Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. And he'll give us the bread, but you are supposed to feed. You are supposed to go and tell.
And the two fishes, he divided them among them all. 42, and they did all eat and were filled.
Look at that. It just multiplied. 2 Corinthians 9 is talking about God's law of reciprocity, that whatever we give out, God multiplies it back. And it says there at the last, it says, we are being enriched in everything by many thanksgivings to God. God says to enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving increases. So Jesus gave thanks. When you need increase, thank him for what's in your hand.
43, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments.
12, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, one for each of the 12 disciples. See, you can never outgive God, no matter what you do. If you honestly sow into his kingdom and feed his sheep, he's going to multiply what you gave. You will have enough and to share, to give and to spare. They each had a basket of bread to take home. Well, that means they had a basket of the word of God to feed others, right?
And of the fishes. 44, and they that did eat all the loaves were about 5,000 men.
Now Mark only mentions the 5,000 men, but the other Gospels, Matthew and so forth, said plus women and children. Well, if half of those men were married and then they had children, it was in biblical times, it was a sign of God's blessing to have lots of children. God said, the way I bless you is to have your quiver full, a little full of little arrows. You're the bowman there. You have your quiver full of children. In other words, the more blessed you were, the more children you had. So I imagine there were lots of children. So it's probably twice that many people.
45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. 46.
Okay, so he's going to separate from them. Y'all go ahead. He knew they were tired, and he said, I'll send the people away.
When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray.
Jesus, the solitary man, Son of God, went to a solitary place. He, ictus, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, to pray to the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, said Jesus. The Father and I are one. And he would pray and commune with the Father. And when you commune with Father, you don't do all the talking. You sit before him. You listen to him. You let him fill you with his golden oil of the Spirit, with his golden glory falling on you. And Jesus was replenished. Jesus was replenished. And Jesus will replenish you by his Holy Spirit. You should never let yourself go one day without replenishing before God. Remember, don't do all the talking.
And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land.
They were not together physically.
48, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea.
Jesus gives them a little chance to see what they're going to do, because you know sometime back they saw him rebuke the wind that time that he was asleep in the ship. Remember that story?
Yes.
So he waits a little while and he sees they're in trouble. The fourth watch of the night is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Did you know that in God's schedule there are certain hours when the angels change guard? I believe one time is 5 p.m. and other different times. But 3 a.m., the Lord likes to come and check on you. So if you're awakened, if you're a totally called and chosen vessel, at 3 a.m., instead of grumbling about, I can't get to sleep, how about saying, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Focus on him. Now, he walked on the water. We're washed with water by the word of God. And in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So the word was walking on the water. And the word is the foundation that holds us up and supports us. So as the word walked, the word supported him. Did you get that?
Yeah.
As he walked, he's the word. He took another step. That foot is the word. So the word supported him. It's the foundation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And would have passed by them. 49. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit.
They thought it was Casper the ghost. They were scared.
And cried out. 50. For they all saw him and were troubled.
Oh my Lord, what manner of man is this that walks on the sea? You know, they just saw him multiply 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 men plus women and children. How soon we forget.
And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid."
Jesus always cautions you not to be afraid. Fear is a spirit. Anytime you see fear coming into you, some of you are going through things now with yourself, your families, your job. When you see fear coming in, that is the devil. And what do? It is written in Jesus' name, the devil has no place in me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Fear is the devil. As soon as you start to get afraid, make him leave. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, let's say it, but of power,
of love.
Of a sound mind. Okay, then the devil has to leave.
Amen.
Don't entertain fear. Defeat fear with faith.
Amen.
And the way you apply faith is to say the word of God aloud. That's from the Bible. Get your scriptures memorized. You need them. It's the only way you get through.
51, and he went up unto them in the ship. And the wind ceased.
And the winds and the waves obey his will. Peace, be still. Jesus can calm your storm. Why don't you let him run to him and let him calm your storm?
And they were sore amazed and themselves began to measure and wondered. 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened.
The word hardened here in the Greek means habitually the way of man. I'll say it again. Hardened means habitually the way of man. They had just seen the miracle of the loaves. They had seen him another time calm the winds and the waves. They'd seen him heal the leper and all kinds of things. And here they are. See, but you say, I'm not a disciple. What you're going through now, don't practice habitually the way of man, which means you completely forget that other time God delivered you when that was totally humanly impossible, when it was a miracle, no way you could have survived. I've been there so many times. And then this one comes up and you said, "Boy, I can't take this one." You've forgotten. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. The same faith in God, the same word, the same great compassionate counselor that brought you through that time will bring you through this time.
Yes.
If you will not be weary in well-doing, if you will not faint,
Amen.
If you will trust, believe his word.
Amen.
53, and when they had passed over, They came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. 54, and when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. 55, and ran through the whole region round about.
Yeah, they are running to Jesus again.
And began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. 56, and whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or countries, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might but touch, if it were, the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole.
Why is that? Because the priest's robe, he had taken the vow of the Nazarite, had the word of God sewn in the hem of the robe. These people somehow knew John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They somehow knew Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed you. So you see, when you are sick, when you are troubled, when you are tired, when you are lonely, when you're hurting, when you have needs, run to the Word, touch the Word. Before there was a man's body, there was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. Before there was a book called a Bible, there was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word is God, and the Word makes a sound. And when you sound the Word of God out loud, if I could ever get you to do that instead of sounding your troubles, sound the Word of God out. A picture comes because it produces. Out of nothing comes something.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So run to the Word. He sent his word and healed them. God bless you.
Amen.
I pray that you are blessed. We'll begin with chapter 7 next week, but right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce you to the owner of the Garden of Eden. Whoops! It's really the produce place in Suntree, Florida, but I call it the Garden of Eden. And it's a man of God. The owner is my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. Trust, believe, run into that word. That's
yes,
it.
Run
Amen.
Into it.
Great word. Okay, our question tonight. Jesus said, I will manifest myself unto them. Does he really do that?
Yes, Jesus does manifest himself to us individually as his children and into assemblies. But you see, most of you have been looking for the physical Jesus. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, he was translated. His body did not see corruption. Matthew 17, the Mount of Transfiguration, Revelation chapter 1 describes that. So the Bible says in the Gospel of John, God is a spirit. And they must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, the Holy Spirit moving in an assembly, when we pray for people, the Holy Spirit interceding with groanings which cannot be uttered, Romans 8:26, when we pray, the touch of the Holy Spirit when we play and sing, all of that, the manifestation, that is the manifestation of Jesus Christ. See, you've been looking to the flesh. See, we don't look to the things of the flesh. We're in the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. He's not flesh and blood. God is a spirit. They would worship him in spirit and truth. And so therefore, his spirit touches you. We have this all the time. I never have a service, but what the manifestation presence of Jesus is here. Because usually I will pray for someone and the Holy Spirit will intercede with groanings. And that groaning is a prayer warrior cry, a sound. And that is his manifest presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. But see, the reason you don't know this is you don't respond. You're still trying to look to the flesh. You're still trying to believe only what you can see. Well, David left his stuff in the cart and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
The time we are walking into now is a time of preparation and sanctification, a time of restoration of the spiritual senses and movement. If we do not remove our spiritual blinders, we will be consumed just as they were in the times of Moses.
Thank you very much, Scott Mercer. That is so beautiful. Thank you very much. Now, I'm going to pray for all of you who are sick, but just before I do, I want to make sure you're saved. Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. If you're not saved or not sure you are, pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me into all truth.
Grow me into all truth.
And use me to bring glory to Jesus Christ.
To bring glory to Jesus Christ.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Now, in a few minutes, I am going to give you my telephone number again. If you were saved, you want to call and leave that message on my answer machine. But right now, let me pray for the sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. And right now, the healing virtue of Jesus, laser beams of light are going into the abdomen where there is confusion in the stomach, where there is chaos in the stomach. Peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still in the stomach. At ease, at ease, at ease. Everything in divine order there. No more gurgling. No more little pebbles and knots there. Hallelujah. Stomachs be healed in the name and the power of Jesus. Cancer of the colon, be gone in Jesus' name. Diabetes, be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Blood, be healed. Arteries, be unclogged in Jesus' name. Brain tumors, dissolve in Jesus' mighty name. Crippled legs, walk. Strength, vitality, resurrection life to you in the name of Jesus. To God be the glory. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Now, if you'll also want to call and tell me that you were healed, let me give you my telephone number again. Area 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. Now, remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." I want to especially thank my twin friend, the owner of the Produce Place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson, for his beautiful Scott stuff. Thank you. We appreciate you, Scott.
Well, thank you, Michelle.
Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you. The Lord bless you and keep you and give you peace. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. Amen. I can't wait until next time to see you again. But until then, I want all of you to remember to go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line by line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. Tune in next week at this same time for The Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful
From heaven to earth, our Savior came. For us on a cross, He bled and died. And from the cross to an empty grave, He rose to life. He rose to life.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
See? I'm alive.
Spirit will play.